Ever notice how a brilliant plan can fall apart the moment it hits your organization? A room full of executives once burst into laughter during a business simulation, not because of a joke, but because the facilitator explained that in the simulation, funded strategic initiatives actually work. The laughter came from recognition. In real companies, strategies get funded all the time, but rarely deliver results. Research confirms this isn't just bad luck. 70% of transformations fail. The gap between planning and doing isn't a minor implementation detail. It's where most organizations lose the game entirely, watching their ambitious visions dissolve into forgotten PowerPoint decks while everyone returns to business as usual. Picture the typical transformation. Inspiring kickoff meetings, ambitious goals, celebratory ice cream. Everyone's aligned and energized. 6 weeks later, that energy has evaporated. People drift back to regular work, and the initiative quietly stalls. This critical phase, the middle, is where transformations either succeed or fail. The middle is brutal because it lacks the excitement of beginnings or satisfaction of endings. It's just long, uncertain work competing against familiar routines. Employees wonder, are we still doing this? As colleagues revert to old behaviors and leadership attention shifts. Most organizations can't maintain focus for the 12-24 months meaningful change requires. The problem isn't understanding the strategy, it's not knowing specifically what to do differently tomorrow morning. Here's the uncomfortable truth. Execution isn't beneath leadership, it's where things actually happen. Leaders who think their job ends with communicating strategy are dangerously wrong. You can't stay above it all and expect transformation to happen. Meanwhile, team members can't wait passively for instructions. They must stay educated on why the change matters and use that knowledge to lead their piece of it. Organizations trap themselves in eloquent discussions that feel productive but accomplish nothing. Sophisticated procrastination masquerading a strategy. Break this cycle by shifting from describing problems to defining outcomes. When someone mentions resource limitations, ask about concrete, smaller-scale actions possible now. Challenge vague concerns by demanding specifics. Ask teams to describe what it looks like when it's working, what people would be doing, saying, and experiencing when the strategy succeeds. A product migration team might define success as 60% of customers on the new version by December, with distinct approaches for enterprise versus small business segments. Teams often stall by claiming proposed solutions don't solve the whole problem. This reasoning masks fear. Once you commit to solving a specific problem, you must actually do something. Getting specific inevitably creates conflict because concrete proposals could be wrong. When you say, "We're rolling this out first in North America and moving 10 people from product development," you give people something substantial to disagree with. This conflict is productive. Avoiding concrete discussions to maintain harmony means sacrificing progress. When motivation wanes in the middle, create midterm checkpoints that define concrete outcomes at specific intervals. Work backward from your end goal. Define what you'll measure at 12 months, then determine what must be true at 9, 6, and 3 months to achieve it. For example, with a goal like sell higher in enterprise accounts, specify what success looks like at each stage: 30 new deals at 9 months, 50 target accounts at 6 months, 100 accounts selected, and 25 sales reps trained at 3 months. This prevents complacency and gives people immediate tasks rather than thinking they have a full year. A simple timeline showing both strategy and key milestones illuminates the path. Include a "you are here" marker, never at the very beginning, general milestones below the line, and specific initiatives above. Use this tool consistently to help people see progress even when it's not visible from their desk. Organizations often track the wrong metrics because they're easiest to measure. Bad measures focus on activities, like calls closed, while good measures track outcomes, like customer satisfaction, driving referrals. When customer service is measured by resolution speed, representatives rush closures rather than solving problems thoroughly. Measuring issues resolved backfires when staff benefit from leaving systemic problems unfixed, inflating their numbers by repeatedly addressing the same issue. The solution is identifying key control points that ensure overall success. Temple Grandin's animal welfare audit exemplifies this. Rather than tracking hundreds of process details, she focuses on simple outcomes like, are the cows limping? This approach measures outcomes instead of processes and focuses on reality rather than paperwork. For a retail technology project, one team identified successful customer pilots as their control point, 4 per quarter. This forced correct prioritization. If pilots were limping, teams quickly fixed blocking issues. Control points naturally break down silos by demanding cross-functional collaboration, requiring multiple groups to focus on interconnected outcomes and driving natural teamwork. Resources never naturally reallocate to support new initiatives. Even when everyone acknowledges a transformation's importance, no one voluntarily surrenders resources to fund it. One company claimed growth in India and China was strategic, but assigned one person with no budget to achieve significant revenue targets. Your strategy isn't what you say, it's where you put your resources. Resource discussions are avoided because they create conflict. Without explicit decisions about where resources for new initiatives will come from, strategies fail. If no new resources are added, doing new things requires taking resources from old things, a simple but difficult reality organizations resist facing. When management expects best-in-class performance without additional resources, illustrate the reality gap. Create visual charts showing current competitive positioning and the true cost of improvement. Present explicit choices between okay, good, and great outcomes, each with corresponding resource requirements. Share ownership of the problem with decision makers rather than shouldering impossible expectations alone. When you know a plan can't succeed, choose between telling the truth or proceeding with a plan you don't believe in. The middle is long, filled with obstacles and distractions. Leadership means tackling impossible problems and unreasonable demands. Once you accept that your job includes both the description and all the obstacles, you'll feel more in control. Everyone gets scared when facing challenges. It means you're progressing. Don't eliminate fear. Acknowledge it without letting it drive decisions. When fear takes over, people either disqualify themselves or mistreat others. Like Hernan Cortez scuttling his ships to prevent retreat, leaders must eliminate the option of returning to old ways. Your organization watches constantly for hesitation. The slightest pause signals you've left a ship on the beach, giving permission to retreat. Even during crises or tempting opportunities, maintain your strategic direction. Protect early adopters who fully engage. They face high risk as naysayers target them with urgent requests. When they seek guidance, take ownership. Either shut down the urgent matter or find a solution that preserves strategic work. The distance between strategy and execution is a canyon most organizations never cross. Crossing it requires defining concrete outcomes, creating visible milestones, measuring what matters, and allocating matching resources. Your strategy isn't what you say, it's what you do when excitement fades. The question isn't whether you have a good strategy, but whether you have the courage to make it real.